Hey guys, I'm Eric McLean.
And I'm Kelly Gramlich. It's time to talk some ACC sports.
Let's go!
Happy Friday, everybody, and welcome in to Gramlich and McLean. We are here to preview what's going to be another exciting weekend in the ACC world. And we're back with this pod. Mac has had a crazy last couple days. He has just been all over the place. But this is the life of a sports superstar, of a broadcast
superstar.
This is
the life of Kelly Gramlich. When I'm traveling around the world, doing studio shows, doing games, doing podcasts, I just finally got to be in your shoes for once. And I tell you what, they're tough to fill, but I think we did okay. What a fun game. I mean, that Sun Belt action was tremendous. It was an awesome game. Came down to a last second field goal if you didn't get to see it. Again, it was a lot of fun just to be at a live event, to be on ESPN. Kelly, I know you know, but it's something we have dreamt about for so long, and to accomplish that and to for it to be a good game, not a blowout. It was a really cool day one. And somebody posted on Twitter, they're like, well, you kind of have your where it started picture now and can't wait to see in 20 years for the next one. So it'll be fun to reflect back on that as kind of my first one there. So it was a really good time.
Well, you killed it, Mac. You killed it. Thank you. I was watching, as were a ton of people. And okay, I need to get a little inside information here. Whose idea was it to do the debate of the second best team in South Carolina? I've got to know.
Who do you think's idea it was, first of all?
I think it was your idea.
It was not my idea, but I supported it wholeheartedly. Our producer brought it up and said, this is what we're going to do. And I said, please, goodness, run this 100 times. I was all about it. Gamecock fans, I know you listen to this podcast. Welcome to the show. And, you know, the second best team in the great state of South Carolina, they reside in Coastal Carolina. That's right.
Welcome to the show and goodbye, because you probably heard that.
Thanks for coming.
And now you're done with us, which, you know, we would understand. Mac, you know, a lot of people say, or they think, and look, broadcasting games and traveling all over the place in a normal time, it is very fun, there's no doubt. But there are some parts that aren't as glamorous. Right. So I'm assuming you had an early flight this morning.
I had an early flight, which, you know, that's of course on me, but, you know, it's tough when you do that quick turnaround. We didn't get back to the hotel. So because of all the craziness with the hurricane and storms, we actually had to stay an hour away. So, you know, we didn't get back till super late. And then really just the booth, you talk about the experience live in the game. I mean, my head was inches away from hitting the ceiling. Like, it was the most tiny, nasty, hot wooden shed of a booth. But hey, we made it look good, and again, it was a good time. It's hard to pick on things and to not be grateful for such a great opportunity like that. But yeah, there's some rough stuff where it's not all glitz and glam.
That is hilarious, because you know you're a big dude. I mean, the booth's got to have some ceilings there for you, Mac.
That's right. That's
so funny, but that's true. That's what happens. I mean, it's not all glamour. If you've ever called a game at Cameron Indoor, you know that you have to climb up a ladder and you're basically in the ceiling in the crow's nest, but that's what we like about those types of venues.
So I actually have a fun little story on Cameron Indoor. So, you know, we got the great privilege of going for Duke's first game last year for the basketball game and the football game when they played Notre Dame. And our producers got us into the basketball game and was like, okay, here's your passes. But when the game starts, yeah, it was really cool. And then that's like, top sports moment ever for me. Huge Duke fan for everyone listening, so hope you don't hate me too much. But when they walked up, when the game started, some people went up to the – did you call it the crow's nest? Is that what you called it?
I think that's what most people call it. Yeah, I mean, you're way up in the ceiling.
So way up. And it's tiny, so it's not like you can't see anything, but it's way up. It's hot. And so EJ, Jordan, and Carlos Boozer, who's obviously a Duke legend, we decided we were going to stay on the side, like the side of the court, and stand and watch the game. And, you know, nobody said anything to us, but apparently we got in a little bit of trouble. And, you know, Duke reached out to one of our head producers and was like, what are you guys doing? Like, they're supposed to be up there. And he was just like, I don't know. I'm sorry. So it fun, great game, awesome atmosphere. Thank you, Duke police officers, for not kicking us off the court. It was really a cool experience.
That does not surprise me at all because of who Carlos Boozer is. And I love that guy so much. He is the nicest human being in the world. And so I'm sure he just schmoozed some guy and said, oh, these are my friends. We're just going to stand here. And the guy's like, oh, booze, of course, no problem.
Anything you want.
That has to be what happened. I love that guy. We have to get him on during basketball season.
Oh, yeah, we have to. He's so good. Can't wait when basketball comes around. He'll definitely be on here.
Yeah, for sure. Mac, let's get into some of these games. Huge weekend, as we've said. Maybe not the games don't look as exciting as last week just on paper, but I think these games are still going to be a lot of fun to watch. And with our big three, we're going to really break down three games, and then we'll give you quick hitters on the rest. We actually have eight games in the ACC because Syracuse is playing Liberty. Normally, you only have seven. Syracuse is an underdog. We'll get to that one, Mac. Not yet. We'll get to that one. Let's start with number one Clemson at Georgia Tech, 12 noon on ABC. Georgia Tech coming off a big win over Louisville. They didn't turn the ball over. They forced three turnovers. They're playing with a lot of confidence right now. It feels like things are starting to click a little bit for Jeff Collins' group. And I might mention this later, Mac, but 2 years ago, this was where Trevor Lawrence really won the job. So it's interesting that he's coming back for his last time there in Atlanta. But how much can Georgia Tech build on this? Can Georgia Tech maybe stick with Clemson a little more than Miami did, maybe like Virginia a little bit? What do you think with this one?
Yeah, and I think what you mentioned about Georgia Tech, the fact that they're having, you know, this confidence, right? Having just an absolute tail whipping, you know, what they did to Louisville a week ago, guys feeling good, guys feeling confident. You've got a young quarterback, you've got a young running back who that's very important. And you know, Kelly, as a young player, if you have a little bit of success, you can grow very quickly off of that. So I think that's going to be an important thing. Another just stat that really jumped off the screen to me is the fact that Georgia Tech has protected Sims pretty well. You know, they only have one sack allowed. And a lot of that has to do with his just escapability. He's a fantastic athlete. I'm not saying that Georgia Tech has the best offensive line in the world by any stretch of the imagination, but that is a very impressive thing. And just the key to the game really for them is going to be don't turn the ball away over, because they've done it so many times. They lead the ACC in picks. Sims has eight of them. And again, they just sometimes will happily give it away. Like it's not, you know, 4 8-ounces of gold. So that's going to be the biggest thing for me from Georgia Tech on a, you know, just from a team perspective. Clemson, I mean, these guys are playing like the best team in the country. They further submitted their reign as king in the ACC a week ago as they just totally destroyed Miami. You know, superstars, Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne playing like Heisman contenders. They're going to split that trophy. We were joking with some people on Twitter that we would accept the trophy on behalf of them, but it needed to be a cake.
Right.
Like you guys have seen that trend where everything's cake. So I think that they, just what you want to see from Clemson, a true number two wide receiver needs to step up. You know, Amari Rodgers has done a great job of kind of being the alpha. And I thought he could do that. Didn't know, just physically with the knee, what was that going to look like? He's shut down all of that. I mean, he looks tremendous. Now you need it. Is it going to be Frank Ladson who has stepped up? He had a big drop, obviously, against Miami, but then also a big catch. Or, you know, Joseph Ngata coming back. You know, Coach Sweeney has just raved about this guy and just said he's going to be a fantastic player. I don't think I've ever heard Coach Sweeney talk more positively, uplifting about a guy who really hasn't done that much.
Yeah, and he's been dealing
with unproven, right?
Yeah, he's been dealing with some injuries, so that's been the issue right now. But he looked really good against Wake Forest, and then we haven't seen much from him since then. And Ladson, it's almost like a Wally Pipp situation here. Ngata was hurt, Ladson came in, and it feels like Ladson is that number two guy now.
Right. Yeah, and that's what you need to see. It can't be Travis Etienne, right? He can't be the best running back in the world and your number two wide receiver, you know, option. You know, it's got to be somebody else. Maybe it's a tight end. You know, obviously Galloway looked really good in what he was able to do, but I think it needs to be a true outside guy that just steps up. That is that T. Higgins. That is that Justin Ross, Mike Williams, Nuke Hopkins, Sammy Watkins. I can keep going on and on. There's so many of them. So you need that next step from those guys to step forward. And then defensively, I mean, they're going to bring so much pressure. They're going to hit Jeff Sims over and over again. They're going to confuse him with coverage, stunts, blitzes. it could be really bad quickly for that Georgia Tech offensive line and Sims. So that's why that one sack, it's such an eye-popping thing, because I think that's going to get tested really quick and over again.
What do you remember, just quickly, what do you remember from 2 years ago when Clemson went to Atlanta, Trevor Lawrence threw four touchdowns, Kelly Bryant started the game, but Trevor ended the game and won the job. Dabo Swinney had some quotes this past week about he was on that bus ride back and he was almost dreading it because he knew what he had to do.
Right.
What do you remember about that game?
Yeah, really just, I mean, that was his coming out party. I mean, he looked so good, so confident, you know, just that day and really just played his heart and soul out. And of course you saw what happened the next week. I mean, it was the starting of the legend that has become Trevor Lawrence. But I tell you what more stands out in my mind was actually last year and the fact that they picked him off twice and that I think that's going to stick in his brain and really, you know, just have him come out in a different gear. I mean, he has said multiple times this week that the pressure, I mean, there's no pressure on him. He understands this is my last year. I want to soak it all in. I think that's a really cool thing that people, you know, we don't hear guys, you know, accepting that as much and just playing free and understanding this is the last time I'm ever going to wear that paw. So I think that's been really cool to see and just it clearly helps explain why he's playing so well right now.
All right, Mac, let's get to our second game of our big three here on the pod. Pittsburgh at number 13, Miami. Miami's a pretty big favorite. Noon on ACC Network. I was kind of surprised with how much Miami was favored in this game. And the big questions in this one have to do with health at this point. Kenny Pickett, he's fighting through an injury right now. Brevin Jordan was injured versus Clemson. He's questionable for the game. How much do you think those injuries will affect this one?
Yeah, it's going to be big. And you also think about, you know, just King. I know he didn't have any announced injuries, but he got beat up. I mean, he got hit a lot in that Clemson game. So maybe something underlying there. We'll see if it impacts him at all. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. I think the biggest one, just because of how much he means to his team, is going to be Kenny Pickett. Now, it looks like he is 90% going to play. With that said, where is his body? I mean, because it's a foot. I mean, you got to think a quarterback has to plant to throw. Kenny Pickett obviously leads his team in rushing touchdowns. I mean, he has five or more. So he is the offense. So if you do not have him, I mean, Pitt, what do you have? You essentially are nothing without Kenny Pickett, just where your team is. And that's just a matter of fact. That's not my opinion. That's literally you have the number one passer in the country and zero run game. So without that man, it's going to be tough sledding. So, again, Miami, their offense changes without Brevin Jordan. That obviously is their best receiver. I know he's a tight end, but he's just so versatile and can do so many different things for Miami with the way he can block, with the different routes that he can run. A little bit different than a traditional tight end. He's going to be a fantastic player at the next level. So, you just hope that he's okay. But, you know, everything that we're kind of seeing on Twitter, it's looking like he's not going to be in this game. So, Kelly, I think I give – the nod, this is never a good thing to give a nod to, but I think the Kenny Pickett injury is definitely something people need to keep their eye on and should be the most concerned about.
Interesting. This begs the question, and it's tough with Pickett because he's done so much for that team this year. I mean, it's Pittsburgh is Pickett at this point. Toughest injury that you have played through, Mac?
So luckily enough, that's a good question. Luckily enough, I didn't have ton of injuries, at least during the football season. So one spring I tore my plantar fasciitis, which was really bad in my foot. Being an offensive lineman and not cutting like a skill player, you know, you don't have to have surgery. You can really let it just heal on its own. So that took me out of spring. So I didn't play, which was awesome, by the way, not having to do spring ball.
Mac, I was going to say, wait, was that like,
it literally was okay. The best spring of my life. It was so great.
You got to have fun and like hang out.
Yeah. Literally just watch, you know, greatness happen in front of me. But that was my favorite spring ever. Coach Sweeney, I hope you're not listening. But then actually going into that fall. So that was the fall of my junior year. We were doing Paul drill, which is like Oklahoma drill for those who don't know the Clemson term for it. And I was blocking Corey Crawford, and this guy just – I think it was either Wayne Gallman. It was some running back. It was a younger running back at the time. Just, like, shot in and hit my wrist and my thumb area where it was almost like a hairline fracture. I don't know if I necessarily really broke it. Oof. But I had to go and I had to get a cast, And so I go for an hour, get these x-rays, MRIs, whatever. And then they put me in a cast and I go right back to practice to like finish practice with one hand. Like it was so dumb. And especially as an offensive lineman, like I get it. It showed toughness and, you know, it made me look maybe better, but I mean, I sucked. I couldn't block anybody because I had one hand. I mean, try blocking Grady Jarrett, DJ Reader. I don't think Christian was there yet, but think about blocking those monsters with literally one hand. It's just not going to – Carlos Watkins, it's not going to happen. So that was really stupid that they made me go back there. So I'm kind of getting after Clemson football right now, exposing some secrets. But that was probably my worst injury just because it set me back a little bit. You know, that was going to be a season I could potentially play a lot more than I did. And, you know, it put me back a little bit.
You know, those both sound pretty awful from a basketball perspective, looking at football.
Oh, yeah, basketball.
No. Yours sound worse. The worst thing I ever had was a bad sprained ankle in college, and then I had a concussion once. But that's it.
A concussion?
Yeah. What? I got elbowed in the head. I took an elbow to the head.
Oh, no, you dunked rough. On somebody. You were so high, you hit your head on the backboard. That's
the one thing I did do, and I felt so bad about this, Mac. You know, I mean, sometimes one of the things my coaches tried to get after me for was to be more mean, right? That was something I tried to do.
Me too. It's not who we are.
Okay, but accidentally. So one of our GAs was helping us with some drills. Accidentally, I get the ball. I'm in like a triple threat, if you will. I bring the ball to my other side and I elbow her in the face and she has to get stitches.
Wow.
Oh, it was terrible. I felt so awful.
You are a terrible person,
Kelly. I'm a monster. I'm a monster, Mac. Oh, it was awful. Okay. Next game on our big three, Boston College at Virginia Tech. Mac, how on earth is Virginia Tech a double-digit favorite in this game? Explain that to me. I'm so confused by that.
I have no clue because guess what? I am picking Boston College as of right now. I might change my mind. Who knows come Saturday?
Tomorrow, as we said last week, we're allowed to change our minds.
That's right, people. We can change our mind. But right now on the record, on this podcast, I'm taking Boston College because I am in love with what the jerk is doing at Boston College. He is just a fantastic quarterback. He has delivered more so 10 times over. You know, what I thought he was going to do in year one. You know, I thought it was going to take some time. I knew he had it in him, but I thought it was going to take some time. And, man, that offense looks good. They're playing at a very, very just high level and really are making a difference. Now, obviously, they've changed everything. Y'all have heard us say this on this podcast at least 100 times that they have just, you know, changed everything of who they are. But it's looked good and it's worked so far. And they hung right in there with North Carolina, who's ranked 5 in the country. So I think that they're going to be a really good football team. With all that said, and defensively, real quick before I move on, I mean, Isaiah McDuffie for Boston College. You know, I knew Max Richardson coming in was going to be the guy, and he has been. But Isaiah McDuffie is a war daddy. He is a big, nasty linebacker, leads the conference in tackles with 41. But guess what? Right behind him, his teammate, Max Richardson, 38. So you've got to be more than impressed with what Boston College is doing on defense, the mentality, Coach Half, the Half effect is really settling in with those guys. So I can't wait to see Boston College in a couple of years. And really, that goes to say for a couple of these teams in this league, I think Georgia Tech, I think Boston College are two that in 3 years from now, maybe even 2 years from now, we're going to be like, these dudes are good, and they're going to be ranked. And they're going to be really, really fighting for some national attention. Going to Virginia Tech, I think that Hendon Hooker is such a game changer that he can make you win football games. So that's the only reason I'm even hesitating with this pick at Boston College right now, because he's so good. And I think that he can really, really put some points on the board for Virginia Tech. He makes them just so much more effective, so much more efficient in their game. Now, I know that they're going to still run the ball because they have one of the best running backs in the ACC. Khalil Herbert is just lighting this league on fire so far. He's second in the league in yards. I think he's second, tied for second maybe in touchdowns. So he's a tremendous player. But again, Hendon just takes them to another level.
I agree with that. And we've heard from Virginia Tech, Hendon Hooker is their starter. They're going with him from the jump.
And, finally. And it was a little hesitant, actually, Kelly. Like, he did not want to say that he was a starter, which I thought was very weird.
I don't get that. I know that I Hendon Hooker was out with protocol and COVID protocol and all that, but this guy's your guy. I felt like we all knew that. And then once he was healthy, you've got to go with him. And there's also that confidence factor of like, Hooker is probably over there to a certain extent thinking, why aren't you all in on me with the press? I think that's a legit question.
100%. And it's like they're trying their hardest to replace him, but they just can't. Like nobody's better than him to take, like they're hoping someone's,
like a red flag. It seems like a red flag. That's interesting.
Big Virginia Tech fan. Love your offensive line. Love what you're doing in the run game. Love your quarterback, but it's a weird, weird vibe that I'm getting about the quarterback situation. I just don't understand it. Don't know why. And of course, I mean, coach won't say a thing about it. I mean, he's super dismissive about it, won't address it. And I mean, we can speculate. That's cool.
He's been interesting with the media. Very. I'll put it that way. That's a good word to use.
But he's a good guy. It's like, yeah, he's a good guy to talk to, like off camera, not at a media thing. He's fun to talk to. He's fun to talk ball to. He's fun to talk about life to. But it's just like, it's a weird translation when it comes to cameras and being in front of the media.
Interesting. Interesting observation there from Mac. I'm going to say one stat about this game that I'm concerned about for BC. Virginia Tech, of course, number one in the league in rushing. BC is dead last. Virginia Tech's averaging 300 yards a game, BC 60. So at some point, if Jerkovec isn't on point and Virginia Tech can just control the speed and the pace of this game, that could be a problem for Boston College.
Yep.
If they turn it over. Okay, we have five left in our speed round, Mac. A few words about these games. Let's start with Liberty at Syracuse. This game probably hurts your heart, hurts your soul. I mean,
Syracuse, are you listening? Syracuse.com. This hurts my soul.
It hurts Mac's soul. Syracuse has to win this game, Mac. How can they do it?
This is a must win for Syracuse. I just think we should go out there and say that because if you don't, it's going to get ugly.
And for Dino.
And yeah, right. And you know, I'm never a guy to call for people's jobs, and you'll never hear me say anything like that. But this is a must win. And Liberty, great offense. They're going to run the ball. Syracuse fans, close your ears. It's not going to be a fun football game.
Oh, no.
It's going to be a tough one. Your best player in Cisco is out. Tommy DeVito might be out. I don't know. When you said, what can they do to win, Kelly? I have no clue. I guess get turnovers because, you know, they're good at getting interceptions. Here's another thing. Close your ears again. They don't throw the ball. They run the ball. So I'm not sure what you can do to win this game.
A lot of confidence from Mac. We'll move on to Louisville at number four, Notre Dame, 2:30 on NBC. Louisville, a lot of people were really high on the Cardinals going into the year. They've
This guy was really high on
Louisville. Mac was high on them. They lost to Miami. They lost to Pitt. They lost to Georgia Tech. They're now turning the ball over. That's been an issue for them. Can they keep it close in South Bend?
You know, I really don't think so. Their defense is so bad. It's the Achilles heel of the team, almost giving up 400 yards a game, and Notre Dame is rolling. They continue to pound that rock. They've got a monster offensive line and really two stars emerging. I'll call Kyron a potential superstar. I think Chris Tyree still has some time, and he's young, so still a little bit ways to go. But those guys look so good. And against FSU, listen to how embarrassing this stat is. Notre Dame had 169 yards before contact, not after contact, before they were touched.
Wow.
I mean, that's wild. And I think, you know, it might be 60-40 great offense versus, you know, Florida State just being terrible right now. But, I mean, that is just – that's embarrassingly bad. So, Notre Dame, I think, is going to continue to roll. I think they win this game pretty big.
Now, those are the kind of stats you come to Gramlich and Matt.
That's right
there. Duke at NC State. NC State's a 5-point favorite last I checked, 3:30 p.m. ESPN3, which surprised me, this game is not on a better channel. Duke's coming off a win where they're looking a little more confident. NC State has been rolling. Can NC State keep up the win streak right now with that consistency you always talk about from the Pack?
Yeah, that's going to be the biggest thing, Kelly. Again, the defense has to continue to improve. They're too talented not to be great. You know, everywhere I look on that defense, there's guys. I mean, they have really great individual talent. They just have to all come together to figure it out. And we saw flashes of that a week ago. And then offensively, just Devin Leary, can you continue to be consistent each and every week? Because that's going to be the key for Duke. It's just, can you replicate the magic that we saw a week ago in the Carrier Dome? It seems like you figured out the formula is to run that ball aggressively, let the passing lanes open up. Jackson and Durant are really emerging as a nice 1-2 punch.
All right, two more for you, Mac. Virginia at Wake Forest, 4 p.m. ACC Network. Wake is back. You saw Wake's last game. You called Wake's last game. Brennan Armstrong is a TBD. He's in concussion protocol for this weekend. Can Wake keep it rolling?
See, I'm going with Wake here. I think they're gonna pull it out. Which, you know, it's turning out to be a really weird week if you're following my picks as of now. I think that the time off was a really good thing for Wake. You know, it allows these coaches to have time with their guys. That was the biggest concern I heard from them going into that Campbell game, was just the fact that they didn't have time to develop their culture. This is a very young team. They lost so many guys from a year ago. And you know, obviously, you know, I know they played an inferior opponent in Campbell, but the offense looked really good. And I think you can build confidence off of that. Looking at Virginia, if Armstrong's out, it's going to be very tough to schematically do what you want to do to run the ball with your quarterback. You know, Stone just can't do that. So it's going to be interesting to see scheme-wise what they look like. And then defensively, I just need to see more from that defense. I need to see more from guys like Charles Snowden, who are just elite players, to really force turnovers and make some big plays.
You just mentioned FSU with that awfully embarrassing stat at Notre Dame. And FSU, now, Mac, our guy, Scary Terry, is out with an injury. Number 5, North Carolina at Florida State, 7:30 on ABC. Is there any chance for the Noles?
You know what? The only thing that they have to hold their hat high on, hold their head high on, Mac Brown.
Or their hat.
Yeah, either one. Whatever. Wear your helmet, whatever you want to do. Mac Brown, 0-9.
That's crazy.
Florida State. His alma mater. Beating them, right, which is crazy to me. But guess what? Those Florida State teams, they are nowhere near here. Those guys are long gone. This is a different program. Something tells me that Sam Howell and the Bash brothers, Ole Williams and Carter in the backfield, they're going to handle business for their head coach and get his first dub. I think the Tar Heels are just white hot. This is what we thought the offense was going to look like, and they take care of business easily in Tallahassee.
Let's do – I, of course, forgot about this, Mac, which is me, my fault. Fill in the blank for Pitt, Miami, and BC, Virginia Tech. We could do it for Clemson if you want. We can. But let's do Pitt and Miami. All right. Pittsburgh is the underdog. Pittsburgh, fill in the blank Friday here. Pittsburgh can beat Miami this weekend if.
Pittsburgh can beat Miami if Kenny Pickett somehow finds a new ankle and is able to ball out. Without him, it's an absolute
He needs a new ankle.
Yeah, I don't know if it's surgery, implant, whatever you got to do to that ankle. That's the only answer, because it's looking like it's going to be a tough outing.
So basically, we need a significant medical breakthrough for Pittsburgh.
Very quickly. Today is Friday. We need it in a couple of hours to get this done.
You heard it here from Mac. Okay, now this is the one you were talking about with BC. You like BC in this game. I do too. Boston College at Virginia Tech, fill in the blank Friday. What can BC do to beat Virginia Tech?
If BC plays the defense that we know they're capable of, if those guys up front can tackle, I mentioned them earlier, Isaiah McDuffie, Max Richardson, if they can slow down this attack, this rushing attack that Virginia Tech's going to have, not stop it, because it's going to be hard to do that, just limit it, I think they have an unbelievably good chance to win that football game.
Mac? You're the bomb. I know you had a super – if y'all just knew Mac's schedule today, oh, man. But we found a way to record. That's because Mac is all over the place, superstar. So we can't wait for this weekend. Again, at Kelly Gramlich, at Eric McLean on Twitter. Follow along. Tweet at us. Rate, review, subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. We'd really appreciate that. And, Mac, maybe you can grab a nap before your next – thing you have to do for someone when it comes to the football
weekend.
That would
be absolutely delightful. Until next time, we'll see y'all.